Who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? And we are taking the scripture for Psalm 23, verse 1 to 6. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen. So who is your shepherd? Now, maybe before that, let's just look at who a shepherd is, who actually is a shepherd. When we say shepherd, what are some of the things that a shepherd does? You know, David himself was a shepherd. So when he was writing this psalm, he knew what to expect from the shepherd. When he said, the Lord is my shepherd, it means that as a shepherd, he himself knew what he was saying. So what does a shepherd do? Number one, a shepherd leads the flock. A shepherd leads the flock. He leads them, guides them where to pass. Go this way, there is grass here, there is no grass here. Eat this grass, don't eat that grass. So the shepherd always leads the flock. So this morning, who is your leader? Who is leading you? Who is guiding you? Who directs you? Whose voice do you listen to? A shepherd leads the flock. Then number two, the flock also hear the shepherd's voice. The Bible says in John chapter 4, it says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. So who is a shepherd? If you read the John chapter 10, it talks about who a good shepherd is. So whose voice are you listening to? Whose tapes do you listen to? Which music do you listen to? When I come to your car, when I come to your house, who are you listening to? Which videos do you have there? Which CDs do you have? What do you follow on YouTube? Whose voice are you listening to? The Bible says, my sheep know my voice, and a stranger's voice they will not follow. The third one is the shepherd feeds the flock. He directs them where there is food, leads them to green pastures, feeds the flock. And then the shepherd also protects the flock. So who is protecting you? Who really is your protector? Who is guiding you? Who is protecting you? Who is leading you? I'm not saying which church do you come to. I'm not saying what do you do in church. But I'm asking, who really is your protector? Is the protection of the house enough for you? Or do you have another source of protection? What do you have under your bed? What do you have around your waist? The wristband you are wearing, is it a wristband or... Because one day I was in the office, somebody came, he's a friend, and he had a wristband. I didn't even notice. Then somebody drew my attention, that wristband, I said, So I realized that, Charlie, I also have to look for my source of protection. So who is your protector? I remember many years back, I was doing my national service. I went through the old system. I did A-level. So when we were doing the national service, I was taking to an SS school somewhere in the eastern region. So we were a bit more matured when we finished high school. We had done A-level, so we were a bit older. And then in school, don't laugh, but I was the sports, when I was doing my service, I was the sports master. And, I should have brought you, I even won some trophies. I was the football coach. We had some trophies and things. So I had a nice, good team, and I was... One day I was training the boys. They said, Bobby, I said, keep quiet and listen to my instruction. Don't ask me to come and play. So we were playing a match with the national service people, my people, who were much older than these people. And we were losing. But then the boys rallied in the second half. And from, I think, 3 goals down, we drew the match. And I was very excited. So I ran onto the pitch to carry one of my star players. Very good guy. He scored the equalizing goal. When I got onto the pitch, this guy was kneeling down with his hands up, and I was very excited because I thought he was praying, or I knew. Well, maybe he was praying, but I don't know who to. So I carried him after that. I encouraged him. But our next match was not going very well, and the team captain was also the SU prefect of the school. So the next match we were playing was not going very, very well. And I was like, what is happening? I was trying to give the boys a pep talk. That this guy who I thought was praying turned and looked at the team captain. So I said, really? In my head, I was like, hey, so this guy on the pitch, no, he has some other form of protection for his match. I see him as some, you know, good guy and everything, but he has a protection. So you too, who is your protector? Is God enough for you? Or you have another form of protection? You have some other source of protection. God will always protect his flock. God will always take care of his flock. But the moment you decide to bring in competition, the moment you think God is not enough for you, the moment you want to go for something else, God will just step back and allow you. So who is your shepherd? Who is your protector? Who is leading you? Now that we've seen about four characteristics of the shepherd, let's go into the scripture. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This morning I have come to tell somebody, if God is really, really, really your shepherd, you will not lack any good thing. If God is really, really your shepherd, he will be your source of provision. If God is really, really, really your shepherd, there is nothing you need that you wouldn't get. Be it from marriage, be it from emotion, be it financially, be it spiritually. He's an all-round God. And if he is really your shepherd, then like David said, I shall not want. You will never want if God is your shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. Green pastures is symbolic of, when you say green, it's symbolic of fertility, it's symbolic of growth, it's symbolic of, you know, when you go to the farm and you say the crops are green, it means the crops are doing very well, they are growing well. When the Lord is your shepherd, you will not have stunted growth. When the Lord is your shepherd, you will not have koshoko physically or spiritually, emotionally, no. But the Lord will lead you. He will make you to lie down in green pastures. If God is really your shepherd, he will make you to lie down in green pastures. And when the Bible says lie down, lying down is symbolic of comfort. It means God will take care of you in your comfort. You will be comfortable and there will be growth all around you. Amen? You will be comfortable. You won't be stressing. There will be no wahala. That is why the Bible says the blessings of the Lord, they make us rich and they add no sorrow. When your blessing is of God, there is no sorrow added. There are no sidebars. But when the blessing is from another source, then you have other additions that come with it. There are other sorrows that come with any blessing that is not of God. So he makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. When you go to a beach or when you go to even the swimming pool in some of these hotels, other, they'll tell you, you know, there's always a lifeguard, but they'll tell you, don't go here. This water is deep. This one is shallow. This one is this. This one is that. The lifeguard is there to guide you. But when God is guiding you, God knows how to help you to navigate. So like the lifeguard, when God is guiding you, you don't go where you cannot swim. You don't go where God cannot lead you through. Anywhere God leads you to, he has the ability and the tenacity to help you to navigate. Have you two been on the road before? Maybe you are going a particular route. You are using this route, and this is the road you normally use. All of a sudden, you have a click in the spirit. Just turn and pass here. You turn and use another route, and here, oh, that route, Charlie, there was an accident there. There was bad traffic there. There was something there. That is the spirit of the Lord that is leading you beside the still waters. When God is leading you, he makes sure that your life is stress-free. When you want to lead yourself, then you walk into stress. When you want to do things by yourself, you get into all kinds of trouble. But if you allow God to lead you, God will make sure that it's stress-free. He leads you beside still waters, not running waters. Because running waters, no, it can easily cause you to drown. And not beside standing waters, because standing waters carry death and diseases. So if you go beside the standing waters, you can... there can be death and diseases in them. But there's still water. That is where everybody wants to swim. When you go to the beach, you want to go to where the... No, I've not been... In fact, I've been to the beach once in my life. But at least I know. Don't tell my wife, but when we were in school, I was chasing some girl B, and then our school fellowship decided that we should go to the beach. So that day, I also went to the beach. That was my only day I went to the beach. But I know that when you go to the beach, there's still water. So they guide you. The life guide will tell you, pass here. And that is what God does in your life. So he leads me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Is there anybody who needs some restoration this morning? The Lord is available to restore your soul. Restoration comes in various forms. Somebody may have fallen into sin. You may have backslidden. You want to give up on God, but the Spirit of the Lord is telling you this morning, the Lord is available to restore you. He will restore your faith. Somebody said, I've lost a contract, I've lost my job, I've lost my finances, I've lost something valuable. God is here to restore you. If the Lord is your shepherd, he will restore your soul. It doesn't matter what you have gone through. It doesn't matter what you think you have lost. God has the ability to restore your soul. Oh, pastor, you know, yesterday, you don't even know where I'm coming from. I've been chasing somebody's husband. God says, I love you, but I don't like what you are doing. He has the ability to restore your soul. Pastor, you don't know what you are saying. I worked for this company 20 years. They have laid me off. God has the ability to restore your finances. Anything you have lost, if the Lord is your shepherd, he will restore you. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Remember, it is in God's own interest that you are sin free. It is in God's own interest that you lead a righteous life. God will be excited to know that I can trust my son, I can trust my daughter. God is excited. He is happy when he knows that this my son, he cannot be tempted and he will fall. This my son will stand for me. So he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. So when you sin, don't think that it is God who has tempted you to sin. Some of us say, God has abandoned us. God did this. That's why I also had to go to sin. Please, 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 please. It's not God. God does not expect you to sin. Sometimes God is taking you through a test. When you read the book of Job, the Bible says the sons of God, they had gathered with God, having fellowship, probably singing worship songs, singing some praises unto the Lord, having fun. All of a sudden, from nowhere, the devil also appeared. So God looked at him and said, what do you want here? Then the Lord asked the devil, do you want some water? Because knowing where the devil is coming from, no. The devil said, I need a gallon. So God said, give the devil water. And they brought the devil water. Then the Lord said, And the devil said, I've been roaming through and fro. I went to see him. There were some wings. So I went to International Demon Conquest Worship Center. That place too, I didn't really. So I went to Overcomers, something. So I've been roaming. So those of you who like roaming, one church, another, you have a nice companion. So I've been roaming through and fro. So I asked myself, Charlie, if I had gathered and I see a demon in the meeting, what will I do? I imagine I go for a family prayer meeting, and I have family prayer meeting, so I enter there, and then I see some suspicious witches, some people have been suspecting. That day, I'll take the microphone myself and lead the meeting. I'll talk on 25 reasons why witches must not leave. The only scripture we'll read that day will be Exodus 22:18. Suffer not a witch to leave. But God didn't do that. God welcome the devil, gave him a seat. They had a frank conversation. That should tell you that sometimes, God is in the middle of what you are going through, just testing you to see. Are you going to put God to shame? Or are you going to pass the test? So the devil said, I've been roaming through and fro. The devil never mentioned the name of Job. He just said, I've been roaming. Then the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? That means that God knew that he had a servant who could be put to test and he will not fail the test. Have you considered my servant Job? And the devil said, that one, with the kind of blessing you have blessed him, who won't stand for you? He is only standing for you because you have blessed him. If you like, take that blessing from him and let's see what will happen. So God gave the devil a chance. God was testing Job and allowed the devil to go and touch Job. The devil went, brought all kinds of afflictions upon Job. He lost 8 children. He lost his businesses. He lost his houses. He lost his property. He lost everything. But Job said, I will not sin against the Lord. You, one small gossip somebody has gossiped about you, you've abandoned your ministry. You, one small broken heart you have got, the brother is in the church, I won't come to church again. One small test, you have failed. Poto. You have failed. But Job went through the test, and God was in the middle of the test. So sometimes, know that God is testing you. Are you going to fail the test? Are you going to make God proud? Or are you going to make the devil proud? Can you imagine if Job had turned against God and spoken anything against God? The devil would have come back to tell God, I told you so. But God knew that his son would pass the test. This morning, I've come to ask you, will you pass the test? Or you give up on God, you give up on your pastor, you give up on your friends, you give up on your parents, you give up on everybody, or you will pass the test. I've come to encourage you this morning. If the Lord is your shepherd, you will pass the test. If you have God as your shepherd, you know that you are being put to test. You know that the Lord is with you, you will pass the test. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Don't put God to fail. Don't force God to fail. Don't make the devil proud. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. The valley of the shadow of death could depict a time in your life when you feel everything around you is lost. You feel like everything is dead. My finances are dead. My health, I'm not well. I am dying. But then the Bible says, yet though I walk through, you don't sit in the valley of the shadow of death. You don't stand in the valley of the shadow of death. But you walk through. And once you are walking through, the valley has an end. When you come into this auditorium, this is one door. This is another door. If you just come in and you stand in the middle here, you can never get to the end. It's the same with the valley. Keep walking, keep moving, and you will get to the end. The valley of the shadow of death. It's a shadow. It's not death. It's just a shadow. It's an image. You sense death, but it's not death. You smell death, but it's not death. It looks like death, but it's not death. So don't give up in the valley of the shadow and think that you have lost. No, you have not lost. You have not lost at all. You know, the Bible says the devil goes around like a roaring lion seeking who he may devour. But he is like a lion. He is not a lion. He cannot be a lion. He is a fake lion. There is only one lion. He is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That lion lives in you. In him we move and have our being. Therefore, when the devil comes and he roars at you, roar back at the devil with the voice of the Lion of the tribe of Judah. When we were back in school, I used to have a roommate, very interesting guy. Today he's also a bishop in Lighthouse, so we're nice guys from school. He's also doing very well, and we are also here. So he's now a bishop in Lighthouse. He told us a story. Forgive me if you think the story is a bit racist, but I believe it will help with the message of today. He said somebody, you know, when we're in school, people used to travel. I think they still do it. This time, only this time, I don't know the kind of work they go and do, but they travel, they go and do all kinds of work, and then when they come back, they bring a few dollars and pounds, and then they come and bluff those of us who didn't travel anywhere. So this guy traveled. He went to the UK, the US, or whatever. And he wanted a job. And he was not getting a job. He went around and combed everywhere. He couldn't get a job. So eventually, he went to a zoo, begging for a job. And then they said, we don't have any work here. There is no vacancy for you. He was begging because he needs to look for money to pay for his ticket. He needs to look for money to pay for, his accommodation. He's sharing the room with people. They need to feed. They have bills to pay back home to his own people. So he needed a job. He begged and begged. They said, we don't have a job. Then eventually they said, okay, there's only one thing we can do for you. He said, anything you tell me, I'll do. They said, don't worry. We are going to dress you like a monkey. So we'll parade you like a monkey. Are you okay? He said, no problem, I'll do it. They said, we are going to call you the English-speaking monkey. He said, fine, dress me like a monkey. So sometimes when you go to the zoo, and then they are telling you, oh, don't go near the animals, they are dangerous. They may not be really dangerous. It may be that they are not real monkeys or something. So So this guy was dressed as a monkey. And then people were coming around. They'll come and say, monkey jump, then he will jump. Then they say, oh, this monkey speaks good English. Monkey run, then he will run. They say, oh, this monkey speaks good English. So all of a sudden, people got attracted to the English-speaking monkey. And they were all, you know, and he was very happy because somebody would throw banana at him. Somebody would throw their chocolate at him. Somebody, you know, children, they would throw their snack at him. And he was very happy. He didn't have to buy food. He was getting nice bonuses. But the zoo owners had a problem. They knew that this man, in 3 months, is going back home. And if everybody is concentrating on the English-speaking monkey, then when he goes, Charlie, the zoo is dead. So they told him, slow down. But Opana Ghana man, who has got his breakthrough, he doesn't understand slow down at all. So he was doing the thing more and getting more fans and drawing more people. So one day they said, we have to put fear into him. So they went to put him on top of a cage. And then they said, in this cage is a lion. So be careful what you do. If you make a mistake and you fall in the cage, you are dead. He didn't listen. He was on top of the cage, flipping, dancing, whatever, doing everything. And one day, unfortunately for him, he fell in the cage. Then the lion roared at him. Then he shouted, "Ow, mew!" Then the lion approached him, and the lion tapped him on the shoulder. "Men's ruin, I'm yeunia." The lion was fake. That was a fake lion trying to limit his authority. It's the same thing with the devil. The devil is fake trying to limit your authority. The devil is fake trying to limit your blessing. The devil is fake trying to stop you from going forward. Don't give in to the devil. He has no power to stop you. He cannot limit you. He is not your match. The valley of the shadow of death is not death. I have a godmother in California. It's almost 2 years ago, when she had not been well for some time. When they called her, they said, "Well, you have 3 more months to live. Your time is up. So we're going to prepare you to die." And in the U.S., when they say they are going to prepare you to die, they take you to what we call a hospice. And in the hospice, they prepare you. If you're a Catholic, they bring you a Catholic priest. You say your last prayers, anointing of the sick, and all those things they do for you. If you're a Muslim, they bring you an imam, prepare to die. If you're a charismatic, they bring you a pastor to prepare you to die. And if you don't believe in God, then they bring somebody to come and ask you, "Have you done your will? Whatever, what do you want to do? Should we cremate your body?" So they prepare you to die. So she was in the hospital. She was being prepared to die because they told her you have 3 months. So she said, one day I was in the washroom. Then I heard a conversation going on. And the medical team were talking. Then one person asked, "How much more life has she got left?" So in the washroom, she told herself, "Who are these human beings who are deciding how long I should live on this earth?" She came out of the washroom and said, "I've discharged myself from the hospice." They said, you cannot go." She said, "You cannot keep me here against my will. I have discharged myself." So she discharged herself, signed all the documents. January will be 2 years. She's still alive. She's not dead. The valley of the shadow of death is just a valley. It's just a shadow. It's not real. Don't allow your circumstances to make you think that you're a failure in life. No, you cannot fail in life. Somebody said, "Are you saying the devil has no power?" The devil may have some power, but his power is nowhere near your power. You and the devil, no. It's like a super heavyweight champion. You're a super heavyweight champion. Fighting a bantamweight or flyweight champion. Not even featherweight. Bantamweight or flyweight. That's the devil. So the bantamweight or flyweight has some power, but he cannot face a super heavyweight champion. You are a super heavyweight champion. Yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. I will not be afraid of what is coming. I will not be afraid of what happened yesterday. I will not be afraid of CD dollar prices. I will not be afraid of fuel prices. I will not be afraid of medical report. I will fear no evil, for you are with me. So this afternoon, who is your shepherd? Who is your shepherd? Who is with you? Who is leading you? Who is feeding you? Who is protecting you? Who is directing you? If it's the Lord, you have nothing to fear. If it's the Lord, he will lead you. His rod and his staff, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The rod stands for the word of God. The staff stands for the presence or the spirit of God. God's presence or spirit comes down in worship. This morning, I have come to challenge everybody. If you have any challenge you are going through, there are three things that can take you through any challenge. Number one, the word of God. Number two, prayer. And number three, the spirit of God in the form of worship. These three things, these three keys are enough for any Christian and any battle you face. Every battle you face, you'll find the scripture to back it. Sometimes somebody said, oh, pastor, I said I'm going through a challenge and you said I should worship God. Yes, worship God. Because some of the worship songs, they are songs of encouragement for you yourself. They are songs of encouragement. Look at the song we just sang. Very wonderful song. That song alone, I can teach you five things, five problems that you may have that song can help you come over. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. If you take the song, and somebody said, oh, when I wake up in the morning, my path, I don't see anything. The whole, it looks dark. I can't see spiritually. My eyes are not opening spiritually. I don't know where to go. I don't know what business to do. I don't know what school to do. I don't know what to do. But the song says, there is no shadow he will not light up. If you take the Bible says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet. If you take the song, there is no shadow he will not light up. The light of God is available. Any darkness you think you are going through, there is the light of God available. There's no shadow he will not light up. Somebody said, oh, my friends, they gossiped about me. They set me up. They lied about me. People fabricated stories about me. And it seems like they have won because people believe what they are saying. Really? It's just a matter of time. Because the song says, there is no lie he will not pull down. Has somebody lied about you? That lie will be exposed soon. Has somebody said something about you that is not true? Do not fret. Do not worry. There is no lie he will not pull down. There is no lie he will not pull down. Somebody said, oh, anytime I want to take a step, it's like there is a blockade before me. The devil has mounted walls of frustration. Anything I do, there is frustration. Anything I do, there is no frustration. That song again says, there is no mountain he will not climb over, running after me. The same song says, there is no wall he will not kick down, running after you. When I tell you this thing, some of them, I speak them from my own experience. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. We are pastors, but every pastor will tell you, we too, there are some days we need somebody to comfort us. We too, there are some days we are down. A little over a year ago, I lost my junior brother. I was completely broken. I remember that day like yesterday. I was broken. I didn't know what to do. Because I couldn't believe that my junior brother, I will not see him again. He's dead and gone. And the painful thing was, Charlie, around the same time, some people had called me from outside. Serious cases, I prayed with them. They are fine. My own, I prayed. God didn't, I don't know. Let me be careful so that I don't blaspheme. So God knew best, even though I was not really happy with his best. No. So he was taken away. And I was there, and I was at the hospital. I was confused. I called my big cousin, who is like my father. I said, well, the God I serve, when I pray for others, he listens. But me, myself, he didn't listen. So I'm sorry, but he didn't make it. My cousin got off the phone. My cousin got off the phone. Almost immediately, my auntie started calling me. Calm down. I said, oh, I'm okay. They said, calm down. Because remember, one of my aunties said, remember, you are the Osofu. What you say is what we will do. I was on the phone, confused. I put the phone down. I said, hey, I need encouragement. And now you are telling me that what I say is what you will do. You will all follow me. I put the phone down and I was almost getting angry. Then the Lord whispered to me, they are all watching you. They are all watching you. Will you pass the test or will you fail the test? But it was still not easy. I came to church on the Sunday. I sat here and I broke down here again. Because I was looking at the altar and I remembered some years back, I was reading a tribute here. My junior brother was standing on my left and then I had a cousin on my right. In 6 months, both of them had died mysteriously. So as I sat here and I saw the altar, I pictured that day and it was like, Charlie, a bird, my left wing, my right wing, clipped off. I broke down. I was there quietly. Then all of a sudden, Mama Jane was not in, so they brought in marriage announcement. I turned and looked at the protocol lady. I was like, but I had to encourage myself. I had to encourage myself, organize myself, and come and do it. And I'm telling you that there is nothing you are going through that the word of God cannot solve. There is nothing you are going through that prayer cannot solve. There's nothing you are going through that worship cannot solve. The three of them, by all means, one of them is a solution to your problem. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. When we talk of preparing a table before you, you know, sometimes when we talk of table, we only think of dining table, fufu and light soup, desserts, water, drink, and all that. But it may not be that table. When the Lord says he'll prepare a table before you in the presence of your enemies, what the Lord is saying is that I will let you rejoice over your enemies. They would have gathered, thinking that you are coming to witness your downfall. But in that gathering, the Lord will appear all of a sudden, and their expectation will be cut off. Psalm 118, verse, is it 3 or so? It says that you pushed me, thinking I will fall, but the hand of the Lord saved me. Sometimes the table could be a table of vindication, where people have lied about you, fabricated stories, they've set you up, they've done all kinds of things, they think they are winning, and everything looks like they are winning. And it looks like you have lost, you have defended yourself, you just can't defend yourself anymore. So they have gathered and you are seated there, and it's time for the final judgment, the final kill. All of a sudden, some witness out of somewhere, something just happened, and the table just turns. It's called the table of vindication. The Lord has vindicated you from your enemies. Your enemies will be dead. They will be confused. They will not know what to do. It's a table of vindication. Sometimes, it's a table of elevation. You are in an office. You feel that people don't like you. You know, some bosses, no matter what you do, they don't like you. Everything you do, they will criticize. All of a sudden, something will happen. You are promoted, and your boss, who doesn't like you, is now reporting to you. It's not time for you to pay him or her back. It is time to realize that the Lord has set before you a table of elevation in the presence of your enemies. So thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I remember in the book of, in the Bible says that, you know, when the ark of the Lord was brought to Israel and, you know, people were dying, Uzzah tried to save the ark, he died. They carried the ark here, people were dying, and so forth, and so on and so forth. Then all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. Then they said, okay, let's send the ark to Obed-Edom's house. I was wondering what Obed-Edom did, because they were expecting that with the ark of the Lord going to Obed-Edom's house, Obed-Edom would die. So I was wondering why, in fact, when we get to heaven, it's one question I'll ask David, because I tried. I tried all my, you know, because I was wondering. I wanted to know whether Obed-Edom had a beautiful wife. Because, you know, with David, when you have a beautiful wife, anything can happen. But I didn't find that in the Bible, so I didn't know. So when we get to heaven, I'll ask David. So they sent the ark to the house of Obed-Edom, waiting for him to die. 1 week after they took the ark, They were passing by. His enemies were passing by, thinking they would hear some sounds of crying and mourning. When they went, Obed-Edom was doing renovation, painting his house because he had got some small money. And they were like, maybe he's preparing for his funeral home. So they went. The second week they came, thinking that, by now he is lying down, almost dead. When they came, no. Major construction work was going on. The house was being expanded. They were like, what is happening? They went. They said, we are coming back in 3 weeks. Three is the number of divinity. In 3 weeks, angels will strike. The family Obed-Edom will die. When they came back in 3 weeks, Obed-Edom was buying the properties all around him. They were expecting that Obed-Edom would have died. That is what your enemy is expecting of you. What they are expecting, the Lord will make sure the opposite happens. So it means that all of a sudden, if Obed-Edom was sick, he was healed. All of a sudden, if Obed-Edom was poor, riches started coming in. If Obed-Edom had marital problems, his wife came back. Any problem Obed-Edom had that the enemies were expecting would be aggravated, the problem was turned around. This morning, I'll ask you again, who is your shepherd? Who is leading you? Who is guiding you? Who is directing you? Who is protecting you? You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And thou anoint my head with oil. The Bible says the anointing breaks the yoke. When your head is anointed with oil, there is no yoke that can exist in your life. When you have the anointing of God on your head, every yoke of poverty, broken. When you have the anointing of God on your head, every yoke of sickness and disease, broken. When you have the anointing of God on your head, any yoke of oppression, depression, it is broken. Thou anointed my head with oil. The anointing of the Lord is in this house this morning. And your head has been anointed with oil. Every yoke over your life, it is broken. Any demonic oppression, it is broken. Any suppression of witchcraft, it is broken. Anything is broken by the anointing. Thou anointed my head with oil. My cup runs over. When your cup is running over, it's symbolic of having an overflow. You have abundance. When you believe in God, when you walk with God, when the Lord is your shepherd, you will walk in abundance. You will never lack any good thing. God will bless you in your going out and in your coming in. What do you need that God does not have? Anything you need, He has. My cup runneth over. You will have enough to feed yourself. You have enough to feed your family. You have enough to bring it to the church. You have enough to give to your neighbors. You will have more than enough because God is your shepherd. Pastor, things are hard. Yes, I know things are hard. In fact, let me tell you something. This is true. I'm in church. Last week, I think it was Sunday, I must have been coming to church. I was driving. Then I saw something interesting. Pastor Keto, somebody I think it was a Prado V8. He had parked by the roadside with his white gallon, pouring petrol into his car. Prado shot fuel. Immediately I said, Ghana is hot. So Ghana is hot. But when the Lord is your shepherd, your cup will overflow. You will have more than enough. You will not lack. Lack and insufficiency will never be your portion. Lack and insufficiency will never be your portion. When the Lord is your shepherd, say, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Goodness and mercy. Two of you, please. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. This is goodness. This is mercy. Don't worry. Mercy is today you are an Ewe. So mercy is unisex. You know, Ewe's all our names. Dela, everything. Mawinyo, Mawena, they are all unisex. So it doesn't matter. You are mercy and you are goodness. And the Bible says, goodness and mercy, they shall follow me. So it means when I'm walking, they are walking after me. When I'm walking, they are walking after me. When I wake up in the morning, the goodness of the Lord, the mercies of the Lord, they are following me wherever I go. So far as I'm moving, when I'm running, they are running after me. Anything I do, they are after me. Goodness and mercy, they shall follow me. But watch this. Watch this. Follow me. Follow me. You cannot follow somebody who is not moving. You cannot follow somebody. Thank you, Mr. Down. You cannot follow somebody who is not moving. So yes, it is true. Things are hard, but keep moving. And goodness and mercy will follow you. Keep moving, keep moving, keep moving. Keep coming to church, and goodness and mercy shall follow you. Because the Bible says, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in their midst. The presence of God brings goodness. Keep moving, keep coming to church. Keep giving an offering. Because when you give, the goodness and mercy of giving, where the Bible says, give and it shall be given back unto you. Press down, shake it together and running over. It shall come upon you. But when you sit down and say, I won't give again, and you are crying, now with your bobo, and you are crying, and you are not moving, and you are sitting down complaining, goodness and mercy, they follow you. They sit down and they complain with you. And guess what? They are two. You are one. So when you sit down and you say, I will load, then they say, I will load, double. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, not some of the days of my life. In the good days, in the bad days, in the ugly days, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. When I am sick, goodness and mercy is following me. When I don't have food in my house, goodness and mercy is following me. When I've run out of fuel, goodness and mercy is still following me, because I will not give up on God. Goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I will not backslide. I will not backslide. How can I backslide? I cannot backslide. I will not backslide. I will not give up on God. I will not turn my back on God. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It means that no matter what people do, I will dwell in the house. No matter who has stepped on my toe, I will dwell in the house. No matter the gossip you gossip about me, I will dwell in the house. No matter the stories people tell about me, I will dwell in the house. No matter what has happened, I will dwell in the house. I will continue in my ministry. I will stay in the choir. I will be a marriage counselor. I will be an usher. I will be in the protocol. All the gossip, all the whatever, all the setup, I will overcome them. I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When I'm 20 years, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When I'm 50 years, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When I'm 80 years, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When I'm 90 years, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. When I'm 100 years, I will dwell in the house of the Lord. Forever and ever and ever. So this morning, I'll ask you again, who is your shepherd? Who is leading you? Who is guiding you? Who is directing you? Who is protecting you? Who is your shepherd? God bless you.